You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
On Christmas Day, many people will moan a little unless they receive a lot. But in India, if people receive a little, they rejoice a lot.
The International Lutheran Layman's League presents Christmas in India, the 22nd in a series of annual productions depicting the colorful and often unusual celebrations of Christmas in lands throughout the globe. Previously, we've taken you to such faraway places as New Zealand, Hong Kong, and the Philippines. This year, a new Far Eastern adventure awaits you in the world's second most populous country, India.
Christians in India are on the frontiers of Christianity, and they celebrate Christmas with as much reverence as anyone else in the whole world. Welcome to Christmas in India. I'm your host, Oswald Hoffman. During the coming minutes, I shall share with you a little bit of the joy of celebrating Christmas in India, that great land of spices that sits sublimely between the Arabian Sea and the Indian Ocean. Because of its size, India is often quite appropriately called the subcontinent. This is the seventh largest domain on the face of the earth, from the alluvial lowlands in the southern and central regions to the treacherous peaks of the Himalayan and Karakoram ranges in the north. India encompasses more than 1,200,000 square miles of land. That's about one-third the size of China. But the population of India is 600 million plus, nearly 75% the population of her Chinese neighbor to the north and east. More than 85% of the Indians are Hindus, about 7% are Muslims, and approximately 2.5% are Christians. It is in a poor and crowded country like India that the meaning of Christ's birth can work a great wonder. Our Lord knew poverty from the start of his humanity. He was born in a stable, the child of a virgin. Thinking about that, St. Paul said, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." Everyone in India is able to identify with the poverty of Jesus Christ. From the streets of Calcutta to the shadow of the Taj Mahal, poverty is visible everywhere. The average per capita income in India is only about 1,100 rupees. That's roughly equivalent to a $150 annual income in the United States. As a matter of necessity, people of India are occupied with the problem of their nation's poverty. But they need not be ashamed, especially at Christmas time. If anything, being poor at this time of the year may have one distinct advantage. It makes it all the easier to understand exactly what the first Christmas was really like. It consisted of Christ alone, without all the distraction of today's tinsel and glamour. It is at this time of the year in India that more than 15 million Christians strong gather to celebrate the richness of their faith. The Lord God and Savior of the world has come to the stable where he was born. from the cradle to the cross. He loved us all, till it hurts. This, above all, is the message of Christmas.
ആ കാലത്ത് ലോകമുക്കയും പേർവഴി ചാർത്തണമെന്ന് ഔഗസ്തോസ് കൈസറുടെ ഒരു ആജ്ഞ പുറപ്പെട്ടു. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. Quirinius, സുറിയ നാട് വാഴുമ്പോൾ ഈ ഒന്നാമത്തെ ചാർത്തലുണ്ടായി. The first of such enrollment was when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. എല്ലാവരും ചാർത്തപ്പെടേണ്ടതിന് താന്താന്റെ പട്ടണത്തിലേക്ക് യാത്രയായി. Everyone set out to his own city for being enrolled. അങ്ങനെ യോസേഫും ദാവീദിന്റെ ഗൃഹത്തിലും കുലത്തിലും ഉള്ളവനാകൊണ്ട് തനിക്ക് വിവാഹം നിശ്ചയിച്ചിരുന്ന മറിയ എന്ന ഗർഭിണിയായ ഭാര്യയോടുകൂടെ ചാർത്തപ്പെടേണ്ടതിന് ഗലീലയിലെ നസ്രേത്ത് പട്ടണം വിട്ട് യഹൂദ്യയിൽ ബത്ലഹേം എന്ന ദാവീദിൻ പട്ടണത്തിലേക്ക് പോയി. ഇൻ ദ സെയിം വേ ഓൾസോ ജോസഫ്, ബിക്കോസ് ഹി വാസ് ഫ്രം ദ ഹൗസ് ഓഫ് ഡേവിഡ്, സെറ്റ് ഔട്ട് വിത്ത് ഹിസ് ബെട്രൂത്ത് പ്രഗ്നന്റ് വൈഫ് മേരി ഫ്രം ദ സിറ്റി ഓഫ് നാസറത്ത്, വിച്ച് വാസ് ഇൻ ഗാലിലി, ടു ബത്ലഹേം, ദ സിറ്റി ഓഫ് ഡേവിഡ്, വിച്ച് ഈസ് ഇൻ ജുഡേയ. അവർ അവിടെ ഇരിക്കുമ്പോൾ അവൾക്ക് പ്രസവത്തിനുള്ള കാലം തികഞ്ഞു. While they were there, it was time for her to be delivered. അവൾ ആദ്യജാതനായ മകനെ പ്രസവിച്ചു. ശീലകൾ ചുറ്റി വഴിയമ്പലത്തിൽ അവർക്ക് സ്ഥലമില്ലാകയാൽ പശു തൊട്ടിയിൽ കിടത്തി. She gave birth to her firstborn, and they wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn.
അന്ന് ആ പ്രദേശത്ത് ഇടയന്മാർ രാത്രിയിൽ ആട്ടിൻകൂട്ടത്തെ കാവൽകാത്ത് വിളിയിൽ പാർത്തിരുന്നു.
That day there were shepherds staying outside watching the sheep.
അപ്പോൾ കർത്താവിന്റെ ഒരു ദൂതൻ അവരുടെ അരികെ നിന്ന് കർത്താവിന്റെ തേജസ് അവരെ ചുറ്റി മിന്നി. അവർ ഭയപരവശരായി തീർന്നു.
Then one of the angels of the Lord stood near them, and the glory of the Lord was around them, and they were filled with fear.
ദൂതൻ അവരോട്, ഭയപ്പെടേണ്ട, സർവജനത്തിനും ഉണ്ടാകുവാനുള്ള ഒരു മഹാസന്തോഷം ഞാൻ നിങ്ങളോട് സുവിശേഷിക്കുന്നു. കർത്താവായ ക്രിസ്തു എന്ന രക്ഷിതാവ് ഇന്ന് ദാവീദിന്റെ പട്ടണത്തിൽ നിങ്ങൾക്കായി ജനിച്ചിരിക്കുന്നു.
The angel said to them, Be not afraid, I am bringing to you good news. Christ, the Lord who is the Savior, is born for you today in the city of David.
Whether you realize it or not, India is one of the most religious countries in the world. Hindu, Muslim, and Christian histories in India stretch back thousands of years. Some Indian Christians even trace their spiritual roots to the days of the apostles, especially to St. Thomas, who, according to tradition, was the first to bring the good news to these shores. His message undoubtedly was the same one the angels proclaimed to those startled shepherds on that first Christmas. And it is the same one we proclaim today. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That God sent his son to become a man, a little baby, a child of promise, always shocks people when they hear the Christmas story for the first time, whether they are accustomed to the mystery of a Hindu chant.
Angari Ungari Adivara Saktiyamma.
Or the rigors of answering daily calls to prayer at the mosque.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The idea of God becoming man seems outlandish. What could a little baby offer? How could a child be the answer to our prayers? With all the world's problems, poverty and pollution, distress and despair, tyranny and oppression, what could God bring to the world through a little baby? The answer to such questions is a simple four-letter word, love. It's the heart of Christmas and the heart of the Christian faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ, out of love, was born to die for the sins of the world. During my last trip to India, I talked with some children there. It was an uplifting experience to see how they really took advantage of the Christmas season to witness to their Lord. They may be part of a minority of India's population, but they don't let their limited numbers inhibit the intensity of their witness. I asked them how they celebrate Christmas.
We go to church at midnight on the Christmas Eve and come back quite early in the morning, about 2 o'clock in the night. We eat our breakfast at night itself and we go to bed.
We put the crepe paper all over the house, all colors.
We decorate our houses. We have a Christmas tree and we invite friends for Christmas. We have a party in the evening and a special lunch or dinner.
At this point in our conversation, I thought Christmas in India sounded fairly typical. Then I heard what kind of tree they decorate at Christmas time.
Casuarina
tree.
A branch of a casuarina tree. We take it and then we plant it.
We put
some soil in a pot and we plant it there. And then we decorate it with many decorations. Angels and bells. And we put color lights on them and other crepe papers and make it very colorful.
Using crepe paper and putting the branch of a casuarina tree in a pot may sound like a new twist, but there's something even more impressive.
On that day, you know, we invite all our friends, Hindu friends, Muslim friends,
mm-hmm.
and they come and join with us.
We call our friends, our Hindu friends.
Yes.
And we give them a small party. We all have nice fun.
In India, Christmas is one of two national holidays for Christians and non-Christians alike. The other one is Good Friday. On these two days, people who are alive to faith in Christ share his love with those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
We give them a good time and tell them, most of them ask questions about the Christmas tree and why we call them. So we tell them about Christ and the Bible and how every year we look forward to this festival.
We present them Bibles.
We sometimes give puzzles of the Bible to other Hindu friends. They are very joyful receiving the gifts so because it is something playful to them. And same time they read something about a new religion.
I asked these youngsters why they went out of their way to celebrate Christmas with people of other persuasions. And I got these responses.
To share our love with them.
It's a sign of love.
Yes.
Giving something. Jesus, he was kind to everyone when he was here, when
yes.
he was with us. He shows us how we should be with everyone else.
I should say the same. Christ is born and we have a feeling he is coming to our hearts again. So we celebrate it.
We
want to make them happy.
The joy of Christmas appears in the faith of Christ shared by these children. There was one final wish they gave to all the people of the world.
Be good Christians. Have success in the new year.
Happy Christmas.
Blessed Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That ends the first segment of our program. We'll be back in a moment after a brief announcement.
One tradition often associated with Christmas involves the wise men who followed a star to Bethlehem. While no one knows where their journey began, they may have been from India. Scripture tells us that they were from the East, and in homage to the Christ child, they came bearing precious gifts of gold and rare spices, frankincense and myrrh. Today there is no star to follow to Jesus, but there is a cross. It is the cross of him who was born to die for the sins of every human being. As a memento of this program, we'd like to send you a miniature gold-colored cross, suitable for pinning to any garment. It's our way here at the International Lutheran Layman's League of encouraging you to follow Christ throughout the year. If you would like to receive one of these lovely symbols of the Christian faith, simply write to the Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And now we bring you part two of Christmas in India.
As a result of the British influence in the history of India, nearly everyone in India speaks English. It's no surprise that a popular song like Silent Night should be sung as you hear it now, sung by Indian Christians. Let's listen to a portion of a service taped last Christmas in Neyveli, Tamil Nadu, India. Dr. Luther Meinson, Jr., a second-generation pastor who was born and raised in India, will give us an example of the kind of Christian message Indian Christians are accustomed to hearing at Christmas time.
May a glimpse of the glory that once shone in Bethlehem shine in your hearts tonight. During the Christmas season, we hear songs that speak of the glory in the face of sadness, of light in times of darkness, of courage when people's hearts are heavy. But why, pray tell, should we celebrate the birth of a baby born in a stable? After all, India has many babies born in very poor circumstances every day. Why should you and I gather here to celebrate the birth of another baby? And that too, a baby born many years ago and many miles away. Why should we talk about a baby born in a stable? Can you imagine anything more strange? How difficult to believe that the mighty God would come as a little baby in a stinking stable. Our Christmas cards today show pictures of a nice stable, but Christmas cards do not give off stable smells. And yet this is one of the greatest challenges to faith, that God would so choose to come and visit us with his glory that he would be born in a stable. That is precisely the truth that we need to hear tonight, because it is a truth that we cannot understand, news we cannot grasp with our mind. He is calling on us to accept that fact in faith, with hearts that trust in him and in his promises. Believe. That is the challenge today. Come and see. After all, what a great challenge it was to Mary. Mary, that poor young lady, given one of the most demanding challenges of faith, behold, you will give birth to the Savior of the world. Yes, she who believed the promise was able to see the fulfillment of that promise, and this is the challenge for you and me today, to believe. What about those shepherds? Did they tell the angels, first of all, show us that baby, and then maybe we'll believe? No, they said, let us go and see this thing which has happened. And they saw, they rejoiced, and they went back to their tasks that dark Judean night, filled with joy. They had seen the glory of God in the face of a little baby in a stable that night. The promised one was here. Think of the wise men. Why should they leave the comfort of their homes in the far eastern countries? Why should those wise men leave and follow some kind of far distant star in hopes that they might see a king? And then why should they continue their search when they came to the king's palace and find that the baby was not there? The reason they did all this was that they believed the promise. Having believed, they saw him, and having seen him, they gave themselves to him. So great was God's love, so condescending was he, placing himself in danger of King Herod's anger and jealousy. Not everyone was happy to hear about this baby. We read also in the Gospel of Matthew that when King Herod heard of this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Yes, there were clouds of darkness, as Isaiah had prophesied. He said, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people." Yet the prophet assures us, "The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." This glory was seen in the manger at Bethlehem. Now, here we are many miles from Bethlehem, in Neyveli, Tamil Nadu, India. Is there any assurance that the same God who visited and redeemed his people Israel is here to give us light tonight? Is there reason for us to believe that even tonight God's glory can shine upon us? Were we justified in singing all those beautiful hymns of glory and praise to God? Yes, we most surely were. And this is the word of Isaiah that comes to us today. "You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel." Today, his salvation, his glory is seen in his forgiving word. The word that says, "Fear not, I have forgiven you, I have redeemed you, I have made you mine." And now I ask you, tonight and for the rest of your lives, are you ready to take the promise of this one? This one who was once born in a stable, who died on the outskirts of a city, are you ready to take his promises and receive the light which he gives you as his gift? Are you ready to celebrate Christmas in that way? If that's the case, I can assure you that you will see the glory of God every day of your lives. Every day will be a Merry Christmas, and every year will be a happy, blessed, meaningful, and purposeful year. How can I be sure? I can be sure because he who once promised to come has come, and he has come not only to Bethlehem, he has come to Neyveli. He has come to many people in India. He has come into your lives and wants to stay there. He wants to continue to bless you with his blessing so that you can continue to rejoice and glorify God your Savior. The Holy One has come in love and mercy, and in his mercy, he offers his joy and peace everlasting. Merry Christmas.
The sea has always played an important part in India's history. The sea carried St. Thomas to India, and it was by sea that Marco Polo, that colorful 13th century mariner, made his way to India. Over the years, countless others have landed on these shores for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One such modern-day saint is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. This lady of great faith was born in Yugoslavia, but has since been adopted by the Indian people. The sea and the spirit brought Mother Teresa home. For the past 50 years, Mother Teresa has served her Lord in India. Originally, she joined an Irish order of nuns because they were doing missionary work in India. But after 20 years of teaching in a middle-class school, she decided to dedicate her life to serving the poorest of the poor. In the mid-40s, she received permission to leave her convent in order to begin her work in the slums of Calcutta. And by 1948, her work was so widely recognized that she was permitted to establish a new order of nuns, the Missionaries of Charity. Today, under Mother Teresa's direction, 1,300 members of her order serve the poor in 67 countries. I was pleased to be able to speak with her by telephone. Mother Teresa, would you kindly tell us a little something about your work among the poor in India?
We just take Jesus at his word. What Jesus has said, "I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and you took me in. And I think this is what makes us really contemplative in the heart of the world, in the distressing disguise of the poor. That presence of Christ is so wonderful. That's what makes our poor people so great.
Do a lot of the poor people you meet in your work remind you of how Christ himself became a baby at Bethlehem?
That was the most beautiful part. It's so difficult to understand the majesty and the bigness of God. But when you make himself so small, so that you and I, and even a little child, can love him tenderly, he made himself so small because we wouldn't be able to accept him otherwise.
Do you see any connection between the cross of Christ and the cradle of Christ?
Very, very closely. The cradle is the little one. It was his father who put him there. In the cross, we are the ones. We have put him there.
Yes, and of course he put himself there too, did he not?
Yes, he died for love of us. He was born for love of us. And he became one of us in all things except sin. And then no greater love but he has shown them in the cross. But through death and crucifixion that he brought life into our life.
Is there any special Christmas that you remember and reflect upon yourself?
I think every Christmas is so wonderful in comparison when you look at our people. You see Bethlehem and you see the cross in the suffering of our people.
Do you feel that your work has had a great influence on the whole subcontinent of India?
I think so. I think the people have become more aware of the presence of the poor and they have become more concerned. And I think that the presence of the poor is creating more and more desire to share and not to be so harsh on the poor, to accept them with greater love and with greater understanding. People are beginning to understand the lovableness and the greatness of the poor. That they too are the loved children of God, that they too have been created for greater things, to love and to be loved. They too are the hope of salvation to the mankind. Because what we do to them will be the answer that we will have to give to God when we meet him.
You've described your work as one drop in the ocean.
It is only a drop, but I'm afraid if we didn't put that drop in the ocean, the ocean would be one drop less.
I know that you do all of this for Christ, but why do you spend your life serving the poor?
Why do I do it? Because I love Jesus. We are not social workers. We are contemplatives in the world because we are with Jesus, doing it for Jesus, and doing it to Jesus. We are nothing, and we can do nothing. But with Jesus, in possessing Jesus, we possess all things. And in him, we can do all things.
Are the Indian people impressed with this, that someone like you serves the poor purely out of love for Christ?
I do not know, but they all know. The Indians know very well that I do it for Jesus and that I love Jesus. And I think this is spreading more and more. And they do it in their own way, according to their own belief, knowing that, as Gandhiji had said, he who serves the poor serves God.
Is there anything special you would like to say this Christmas season to people all over the world?
We must love until it hurts. It hurt Jesus to love us. And so we too, we want to love one another as Jesus has said, love one another as I have loved you, as the Father has loved me. And how did Father love him? He gave him to us. And how did Jesus love us? He died for us. And how must we love one another until it hurts?
Now there's a statement for you. And that alone would have been worth this whole conversation, Mother Teresa. And goodbye. We realize we haven't told you everything about celebrating Christmas in India, but we have told you about the vibrant faith of Christians there. They've learned what St. Paul learned. He said about Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. In behalf of Indian Christians and Christians everywhere, I'd like to wish you all a blessed and Christ-filled Christmas.
You have been listening to Christmas in India, the 22nd in a series of annual Christmas specials produced and distributed worldwide by the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League. Remember, if you would like to receive one of our miniature gold-colored crosses suitable for pinning to any garment as a public witness to your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, please address your letter of request to this program, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139.